trying to be expressed, it does not require interpretation on the part of the other. This is not something that is necessarily unique to our peoples, for there are those who will express with words on other planets, but they will still express things with using the energy labels, locking onto the specific energy pattern of what it is they are trying to express, whether it be expressing it as an idea or expressing it as a physical reality.
And use as a jumping off point the phrase that you use, expressing oneself. I get more hate mail than anyone in the industry. I'll put my hate mail against anyone. So anybody wants to yell anything out, cool. I think that the freedom of information debate...
You're bragging or complaining, by the way.
Do I come to McDonald's and bother you at work?
Now we know why he gets the hate mail.
And now we know he wants a lot more of it.
All right.
Okay, so we were talking.
The freedom of information debate, to me, and I do a lot of pro bono information, freedom of information work, and I take it very seriously, is the effort to extract from the government facts and information that the public needs for the marketplace of ideas to function. I take a very Alexander Michael Johnian view of this, and without getting too much into the details of that, I think political information on the internet is the most important thing that's going to sustain our democracy through this century and the next several. I don't think that there's any debating that whatsoever. My problem with this debate as its framed is talking about information and its expression as the same thing, and they are simply not. Facts and ideas exist separately from their expression. So when we talk about information wants to be free, yeah, it sure does. It's expression that wants to be protected. My view is if you write a song, or if you write a novel, and you want to post it on the net and give it away to everybody, that is fantastic. More power to you.
Now we do
heroin. Don't put mine up there without my permission. That, to me, is really the crux of this. We're talking about individual expression that the First Amendment was intended to protect. And James Madison knew that, because he wrote the First Amendment, and he worked was a principal drafter of the first Copyright Act.
Charlie, I've got to disagree with you right here. This is something, what this argument really devolves into is the idea that because you've created something, you have control over every use of that particular expression. That's never been the law.
When did you hear me say that?
Let me touch on the example you used. That idea and expression are separate. The idea is always free, and thus we as a society don't need unfettered access to the expression. Let me take one example where that's plainly not true. Think of the Zapruder film with the Kennedy assassination.
You had just picked the singular exception to the rule.
Well, why is it that it's always every example is the singular one? Well, the Zapruder film.
I worked on the Zapruder film case to get it released to the public and got the National Archives to buy that film for the public.
And I thank you for that. I do. But in the case in question, let me just lay it out for the audience. We're all copyright lawyers, we've heard this, but others may not have. And Time owned the Zapruder film. And a professor, or someone who was criticizing the war investigation, needed access to several frames from that film to explain why he thought the assassination had been improperly explained in the report.
King Thompson. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it wasn't enough to appropriate the idea He could have described
and figure out
each
what Tom should
tell. That would not have been the same as reproducing
in the office day to day. Be
that's
working.
We have
one
no
example.
Argument.
And
give me another one.
Okay.
Maybe the Rodney King
hit.
Maybe the Rodney King video. Name me another exception that falls into the category.
Let me use one that's closer to home. And Charlie, in advance, I know you're going to disagree with me.
For a few weeks.
Bear with me while I.
As long as we have fun, that's really all that matters.
Let me bear with you while I try to.
We were both away.
Let me tell you a little
Tom and Coyle had met and
the band
had gotten into
tonight,
their first really difficult discussion where both of them ended up Coyle
as of last week
crying.
I'd never heard of Ida.
And
last Thursday
so we knew that this was
one of my favorite
basically.
Online music reviewers
and
guy
Tom,
up Cambridge
before this meeting
he writes
happened,
reviews every week
said you know
Oregon
there's
going to
be interesting stuff that's going to happen today.
You
and so this was another time where I think Tom really helped out, and the window was open, and the sound was bad, and the microphone was on the table, and I was sitting in the corner just shooting this thing totally broken apart because
here, several songs from Ida.
You know,
right? I listened to those songs, decided, hey, you know, the reviewer was right.
Together.
This is a great band. By the way, I believe.
You know, I spent the last 20 years of my life on technology, and now, after I get to the point where I'm able to build an organization to do that, I'm just going to, you know, if we're co-CEOs, then we're co-CEOs.
I think he felt like he had a responsibility to... a lot of people that were telling him that this is what
I went
he
to Borders to try to buy that
PCs and other people on
Borders,
the
of course, did not have that CD. I'm assuming Ida doesn't have major label distribution.
High school.
I ended up going to CD Now and ordering that CD. So let's go through the story here. In order for me to find out about a new band I had never heard about, there had to be fair use in two places, at the review stage and in my initial try before you buy moment. Now, I don't think that those two fair uses hurt the copyright monopoly here. It didn't reduce the incentive, because without those two fair uses, I would not have gone and purchased two of their albums.
Okay.
So that's an example that's a little realer than Zapruder.
Okay, John, can you talk a little bit about...
Wait, let me answer one word answer on the international question. Yeah.
We can get back to the international question.
.org
NewMetaphysics.com
wrote the statute
Studio475.com/NewMetaphysics
They're holding individual expression
Metaphysics from the Third Reich
many years later I mean this is 1717
corporate monomania from the Fourth Reich
this country, an ancestor of mine is
617-552-4684
became similarly disconcerted with the fact that Americans at the same time
Newton where it all began where it all ended
and got together with Madison and Jefferson
where it peaked in its midpoint
and helped
and looked on
right
from before the beginning, after the end, and from underneath, looking up
them away from the institution
to the high point
that had established what appeared
at
to
the
be
midpoint or medium, or
and for a while
approximately
we did all right.
The mean,
gradually the institutions began to control expression on the campus. It became necessary to the doctrine of fair use, so that the original purpose of the framers of copyright in the United States.
promote the progress of science and the useful arts would be served, because everybody knows that the reason for...
It is a question of feeling it through your entire being. It is not just one of, for example, again, the color of blue. You would feel with all of your senses, and with its specific color, you would feel that exact shade of blue, how it feels. For example, think of a dark blue at this time. You will then start to feel through all of your body, physical and your other senses, exactly what that color of dark blue feels like.
Running up and down my back very softly. It feels so good. Someone mysterious. I don't want to see his face. I just want to feel his touch. His hands wrapping around my waist. Moving up to my breasts. Oh, I feel tingles running up and down me. I can feel my nipples wanting to get hard. Really turning me on. Oh, yeah. The feel of his hands on my body. The feel of a cigarette in my mouth. He starts to undo my blouse very, very slowly. With such gentle hands. He knows exactly what he's doing to me. I'm doing
until concept button. Becomes experience, all there is
technique.
Speculation.
Teasing
I have
me.
Been speculating about myself for a long time. Longer than the age of the universe times
breasts.
The age of the universe.
Caressing
you see then how
them.
Young it is. How many is my experience of
but
myself?
It takes his time.
Wait, you've lost me again. Your experience of yourself?
Mosquito. Now, is the robot at this point biological in nature as well? Potentially, that's really the premise of Kurzweil's book. Kurzweil was really talking about how we will begin to essentially fuse with our technology. And the story we're talking about is in Wired magazine in April. 2 months ago in the magazine, on the cover was a picture of Kevin Warwick, who had a chip implanted in his body. And so that's one of the very first examples of someone who, you know, is putting a transponder chip or a microprocessor essentially in their body.
And people indeed have imagined a brain surviving simply on a shelf in a jar connected to computer wires.
Or even more extreme, you just extract whatever program is in the brain and store it in a computer and then say that that's now a consciousness. And that's where John Searle comes in and says, you know, a simulation of an explosion is not an explosion, and you quickly get into a philosophical debate. But the kind of dangers I'm talking about don't depend on really the outcome of this debate, and they also don't depend on whether we can implement conscious machines. That's kind of the worst case scenario of probably the ultimately worst of these three technologies in terms of displacing us as a species with a successor species.
When you say that a prayer is a statement of what is so, are you saying that God does nothing, that everything which happens after a prayer is a result of the prayer's action?
too.
Someone was licking my face. Nancy.
Go away, Nick. Baby. Stop licking me back. I'm not that kind of dog. Stay cool. I'm going to get you out of this.
Stay cool? I was up inside the tip of the Fun Needle, strapped to an operating table in the midst of a terrible storm with an electrode attached to my hat. Stay cool?
Philosophy in our sense, that is to say, a set of ideas, an intellectual net in which one tries to catch the fish of reality. Actually, the fish of reality is more like water. It always slips through the net, and in water, you know, when you get into it, there's nothing to hang on to. All this universe is like water.
Last time I'm gonna see this place. And you would think someone would be happy, you know. Man, I'm glad this is it, man. I don't never have to look at this place no more. But you can just tell by the look in his eyes, you know. That wasn't the case. Saying, man, I don't wanna leave like this. I don't want it to end like this.
Finally living up to my name.
Ah, danger.
Invocation of Faith. Quoto, o quoto esti profani, bon lusti fontena. In the name of the mighty and terrible one, I proclaim that I have banished the devils unto their habitation. I am Zarathustra, the Lord of Wisdom and of Utterance. The God cometh forth from the veil. O thou, Majesty of the Godhead, Wisdom crowned Zarathustra, Lord of the gates of the universe, thee I am.
Among educated black people. Does not put a premium on independent, enterprising activity. More on finding a slot in existing institutions, partly because it's such a history of the fragility and the contingency of just gaining access to any position that provides some stability. And it's partly because, of course, the whole notion of a kind of enterprising ethos was ethos ethos was held at arm's length from enslaved people and the Jim Crow people. And it's partly because, of course, the whole notion of enterprising, of just gaining access to any position.
I was saved by the fact that you can prepare for irrational acts. Only so well.
Get into a philosophical debate. The dangers I'm talking about don't depend on really the outcome of this debate, and they also don't depend on whether we can implement conscious machines. That's kind of the worst case scenario of probably the ultimately worst of these three technologies in terms of displacing us as a species with a successor species.
Thank you.
would happen, I wonder, if I... Well, if I... I pay all these bills.
The invocation of hope.
Buttons. Not a Newton. It's a product. Although actually that's all old hat now, that corporate product, marketing phallus and so forth. It's been done. In fact, it's even been done by us. And it's been perfected and gone into decline and oxidized with its environment and so forth. The question is, what are we doing now? Forget what we're going to do. That's been done. Of course, you could ask, what are we going to do that hasn't been done, but I don't think this moment in time is a good time for that just yet. But what are we doing now? That's not even a good question. Who cares? We've been pummeled like Afghanis for decades now. Searching for our lead, our L-I-E-D-E-R perhaps. New metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, riding side saddle now, only 1 foot in the stirrup. I refuse to put both legs in that stirrup, thank you, doctor. So that will give you access to my privacy, and I'm not even pregnant. Although it is capable for the possibility of men having the bearing of childbearing, just not around here. I think we're quite ready for that. And then, of course, there's the third sex that encompasses both and has a synergy of something new, but that hasn't happened yet in popular lore just yet. And then there's your stock and trade bisexuality or ambisexual activities, cross-species pollination and things like that, but that's beyond old hat now. It was old before the civilization began, before the Greeks even got into it. I don't want to talk about that. As if I knew anything about that, that is. 90.3, if you're calibrating. WZBC.org if you're breaking laws, if you're doing what people don't want you to do, streaming media from the new media. hasn't been fully calibrated yet for your protection. Of course, you'd need bandwidth to do that, and that's against the law. So don't even think about having access just yet. And newmetaphysics.com, I think, streaming this show live there as well. Give it a shot. I don't know what's going on over there. Studio475.com/newmetaphysics. Imprisoned felons of past time events running in an endless loop on that page. If you have the password, we tried the new secret money plan on that site, but the results were a little less than stultifying, and now we're doing the newest encryption. It will seem as though you've gotten in and removed media product, but that's of course how it's supposed to work. I'm very proud of it. I accidentally threw away part of the code myself. That's how proud I am. You know how it is when you're home alone in a room that's rectilinear and so forth. It can get on you. Here in the West, bastard balkanized illicit product of some sort of orthogonal carnal communication, which hasn't really caught on in a mass way, I'm sad to say. But we're working on it. Well, not you. The important people are. The cloistered funnily financed people. You can only hope to read about years later in a book or online or something.
The other two technologies have more possibility of an accident causing a near extinction or near extinction or just a big mess.
notion of a kind of enterprising ethos was held at arm's length from enslaved people and the Jim Crow people. But we actually have quite a rich history of black businessmen and women. I mean, Madam T.J. Walker, that Lilia Walker.
Bundles.
Yes, absolutely. A wonderful book. She's a classmate of mine. The story that she tells, and we have many other such stories of black businessmen and women.
Thought of and discarded as being, trite.
So green, it turned. What a wonderful way to spend a Monday. Sunday wasn't so wonderful. We played billiards, I lost. Then watched a squash match. It was dreadfully boring. I abhor squash. But Saturday's pheasant dinner was sublime, delightful. It was a shame about the chap who got the bone stuck in his throat. But the ambulance arrived in minutes, and I'm sure he's all right. And although it was more than mildly revolting, I must confess, I could barely contain my amusement when our host went into convulsions, began spitting up blood, and then exploded, taking the walls as well as our clothing with half-digested food and internal organs. All in all, it was a superb and recuperative three-day weekend. But tomorrow, it's back to the grindstone.
And my God, we got Brother P. Diddy and Puffy and a whole host of others. But in the end, as I said before, it's going to be a question of not just black businessmen or entrepreneurs gaining some assets to credit and capital that then reproduces another kind of class hierarchy, but we're going to have to fight for a living wage for each and every worker. And the issue of employment and quality employment is one that remains very important in our society.
Email question from Larry McNeely. He says, I recently read your earlier work where you showed some interest in Marxist revolutionary action. Have you gotten away from your earlier interest in Marxism and Leninism? And I would show our viewers underneath here, this is the 10-year-old book, The Ethical Dimensions of Marxist Thought, published in 1991.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate the question, because you see, in America, the Marxist tradition has been so demonized because we associate it with the repression and regimentation of Russian peoples. But the Marxist tradition is very much like any other tradition. It's a variety of different forms. The Ku Klux Klan were the only version of Christianity. Most Christians would not be Christians. The Ku Klux Klan's God was the only God. Most people would be atheists. Similarly so, when you think of communism, people think of Lenin and Stalin. Well, you see, Stalinism to Marxism is what the Ku Klux Klan is to Christianity. You see, it's only one strand, you see. And there's a variety of different strands. And the particular strand that I talk about in my works and so forth is the Council of Communist strand of Pannekoek and Gorder, and early called Korsh. We see it in Musty, as American Workers' Party in the 30s here in this country. The great Sinclair Drake was a member of that. By Council Communists, you had Soviets without Bolsheviks. That's what the Kronstadt sailors said in 1921. What is that? Workers' councils without the Revolutionary Party that would reproduce bureaucratic hierarchy, that would allow bureaucratic elites to regiment and repress the population that you did get under Lenin and Stalin, all the way up to 1991 with the deeply repressive Soviet regime in the name of communism, you see. The Council Communist movement crushed, in which workers in a democratic way bring their voices together to try to shape investment so that they're both competitive but also have some relatively egalitarian distribution of the resources. You don't have a CEO who makes $450, those workers make $1, as we do in many of our businesses these days. Now, that tradition was crushed. One of the points of my work on Marxism is to acknowledge that there is, in fact, this deep concern for working people and poor people that sit at the center of Marx himself, who said, "I am not a Marxist," because he knew that various Marxists had vulgarized what he had to say, you see. And at the same time, he said, "I'm going to keep track of the workings of a capitalist society in which you will end up with monopolies, oligopolies, fewer and fewer having more and more power." Look at the entertainment industry these days. Look at the recording industry these days. Look at almost nearly any industry these days. Marx turned out to be right about that. The very, very few having such tremendous power. And the question becomes, what kind of democratic accountability do they have? The public interest and common good.
The fact that Tom, being his best friend from high school, was going to play a factor in whether Tom had a job as the CTO.
I'm going to go on vacation.
This is like, I don't know, I felt like this was the most difficult thing to film. It was so hard to watch, and I was almost in tears when I was leaving.
Knew that there would be biological consequences for human beings.
Yes.
And apparently they were going to proceed with this test, come hell or high water, no matter what Tesla said.
That's right. Asked for a
some additional time, he realized there was a serious problem. He says, I'm sure I can solve this biological problem. I need more time to do it. Test stage, we'll have to meet that. Met it by sabotaging the test.
That's interesting. So then, what did the Navy conclude about this test that just did not work? I mean, they obviously did not know.
You got to put quality in your life in order for the quantity to mean anything.
Or too obvious. It's funny, in story meetings, the studio executive will come up with this, what he thinks is a great idea. He doesn't realize that in writing a book over a period of 6 or 7 months, that you've thought of all these ideas.
Implants, of course, are still under study at several laboratories.
Well, that was part of our growth. They did live underground at one time, and it's in my book, part of the history of Venus.
Situations, man.
Oh, for Christ.
Why are you always picking on me? I mean, who am I, Charlie Brown? You know
what Nietzsche says? Even the strongest have their moments of fatigue. And I'm fatigued, Dan. I'm fucking fatigued.
Thank you.
for me is indispensable, but at the same time inadequate. And it's inadequate because it has no deep conception of what it is to be human in relation to death and birth and love and sorrow and joy and pain and grief.
One more book to show. This is White Screens, Black Images, Hollywood from the Dark Side, published when? Do you remember?
I think that's 1991. That's James Sneed, who was our dear friend. Colin McCabe and I worked many years to make sure his work is available. We have a new volume coming out in a few months. He died in his 30s. He died in 1989, I think it is. He was a towering intellectual. He was very young. He and I were at Yale together. He wrote a wonderful book on Faulkner, and this particular book is one of the first texts on black film, written back in the 80s.
And its impact?
And it's had significant impact in courses in film and so forth. We wrote introductions, we edited the book. He also wrote fiction, as I said, we've got subsequent texts to come. So to make sure that James Sneed's legacy is going on. We're having a huge conference in Pittsburgh in spring on the works of James Sneed. Very young brother.
Baltimore, Maryland. Go ahead.
Died early.
Yes, Dr. Cornel West, I'd like to thank God for you, first of all, and for...
And I appreciate the question. First, you have to keep in mind that some of the most tiring figures that we know of were at some point drug addicts. John Coltrane, the Charles Lamb, the Samuel Taylor Coleridge. And they were able to still get enough distance from their pain and their addiction to not only produce powerful works, but to also undergo the kind of transformation that you're looking for. Which is to say, that metamorphosis that you want. It sounds as if you've already started this metamorphosis because you're in school and you've got enough love in your heart to want to reach out and help others. That's already a sign.
Streets, doing what they do best. Gossip and intrigue. So I get together with the director for a story conference. He's got this beach house. Incredible? Don't get me started. I heard Debbie was there for a party when Frank and Mitzi owned it. Anyway, there's a scene early where the main character wakes up in a dumpster. The idea is to show how, you know, despondent he is. That crazy energy. Exactly. Fabulous. I like it. Well, he wants to replace it with a scene where the guy is out in the desert with a bazooka, blowing up old cars in an abandoned junkyard. You're kidding. So we're sitting there on his fucking patio over the beach, and he's going like, woom, woom, imitating this goddamn bazooka. He's thrilled by the idea. I mean, this is a man who wants to put a bazooka in a movie.
Discarded them, and you've come up with what you believe is the best idea to make the story work, you know? Story work, you know?
So I think I talked him out of it.
I'm going to play some of that scene with Samuel Jackson getting Chris Tucker into the trunk from Jackie Brown. The language is filled with expletives, which we're going to have to bleep out. How come you use so many expletives in your dialogue?
Because that's the way those people talk.
Nice scene, but you're right. A bazooka doesn't do the same thing as a dumpster. Hero pauses long enough to get this down, then keeps walking. He mumbles big board again, recalls the magic map, pinpoints his own location, and then reads off the name of this nearby screenwriter. Later on, he can do a search of industry publications to find out what script this guy is working on, hence the name of this mystery director with a fetish for bazookas. Since this whole conversation has come to him via his computer, he's just taken an audio tape of the whole thing. Later, he can process it to disguise the voices, then upload it to the library, cross-reference under the director's name. 100 struggling screenwriters will call this conversation up, listen to it over and over until they got it memorized, paying Hero for the privilege, and within a few weeks, bazooka scripts will flood the director's office.
various psychological and obvious reasons, they hadn't opened up. They'd had it bottled up within themselves.
It's almost in tears when I was leaving the office, and Tom actually asked me to turn off the camera at one point.
You are a magician, and you ready your space as magicians do. The quiet room, perhaps lower light. You create your space as magicians do, for it is time to slip from this illusion, slip from your current reality to an altered state, to your safe place, and there to seek to stand empowered with the ancients. Yeah.
And think of a very pale shade of blue and feel that one as well in the same manner. Are you not then experiencing the difference of the feeling of the two colors? The two energy patterns are much different. They are similar, but they have their distinct personalities, like your fingerprints.
They don't threaten to create a completely disconnected successor species, I would say.
You're talking about genetics, let's say, for example, the white plague. People have talked about that, genetic engineering leading to that.
Right. And, you know, clearly we're developing incredible genetic engineering technology. Imagine that children in their high school class, as a high school experiment, could be experimenting with making new strains of the flu virus and trying them on their friends. That's crazy, right? I mean, that's not something we would ever want to do. But the technology is advancing so quickly, and personal computers are so powerful, that if we wanted to, we could do that.
The farmer is a man, the
farmer is a man. The farmer is a man who feeds us all.
It's a great thing in the West. The validity of the individual's experience of what humanity is, what life is, what values are, against the monolithic system.
The farmer is a man. The farmer is a man. The farmer is a man who feeds us all. The farmer is a man. The farmer is a man. The farmer is a man who feeds us all.
When the farmer comes to town, the optimum settings to put his wagon
broken down.
And each one's different. You change printers, you gotta relearn everything. We have unified this all under a special print panel for iPhoto.
Then I know that you'll agree that the farmer is a man who feeds us all.
It is fluid, it is transient, it is changing.
The farmer,
and when you're thrown into the water after being accustomed to living on the dry land, you're not used to the idea of swimming, you try to stand on the water, you try to catch hold of it, and as a result you drown.
The farmer is a man. The farmer is a man.
And Tom actually asked me to turn off the camera.
When the lawyer makes a round, the butcher cuts a pound. They forget that it's the farmer feeds us all. When accountants and the cooks, they go walking by a brook. They forget that it's
my
the
personal
farmer
life
feeds us all.
Like an anger is
farmer is
spread
a man.
And misery all across the planet.
The farmer is a man who feeds us all.
My personal life, like the hatred towards me I inspire in everyone I come in contact with. My personal life, like a lesson in how to fuck over everybody through dishonesty, indecision, and poor planning. My personal life, like perfect stupidity, like purgatory, like pure poverty, like can I borrow more?
The farmer is a man. The farmer is a man. The farmer is a man who feeds us all.
The farmer did, no, is at that point they did not. Tesla suggested that he was saying he was leaving the project. He was a good man and could take over it. Dr. John von Neumann, of course, who was very heavily involved in the math and was also an unusual mathematician in that he understood electronics and hardware. So he took over, said to the Navy, well, I have to study this to find out what went wrong.
Did Tesla sit down and have a talk with von Neumann saying, look, bud, we're going to kill people here if we do this? I mean, he must have had that
kind of... I don't know. I was not aware of any such confrontation. However, it didn't take von Neumann long to find out what had happened.
Uh-huh.
And he decided he wanted to redesign the whole system and also apply it to a ship that was designed for the system. And this is where the overage came in.
Meaning a ship that had enough power on board to independently... conduct
yes.
the experiment.
As well as bury and build all the equipment internally to the ship. Because we were talking, even with the Eldridge, which was a basically a 1,600-ton ship, we were talking about a megawatt diesel electric generator, which is not exactly a small item.
No, it isn't.
And the two large alternators, 75 kVA each, an electric motor with gearboxes to drive them. That was a 750-horse motor, as I remember it. Monster gearboxes. And then they had a lot of electronics to synchronize the two generators electrically because you couldn't do it mechanically.
What part did you play in the construction phase of what went into the Eldridge? Were you there for the whole thing?
The atmosphere was really messed up. Yes, sir. No, I have wonderful control over my balance. I journey there a lot when I'm sleeping, when my body is at rest, but I usually try to focus on my surroundings and I just have to be real careful not to be unbalanced, like too spiritual, too, you know. It's very difficult for me because I don't smoke or drink. Well, I do, I like, now wait a minute, I don't smoke or do drugs, but I have learned as I've gotten older that an occasional beer or glass of wine doesn't hurt me. It helps me to relax. I'm a very tense and very energetic person, and I usually don't sleep till wee hours in the morning. I just, you know, it's very difficult for me to relax. So I do find that on occasion I can go out and socialize and have a beer or a glass of wine, and it helps me to feel more balanced. It helps me as an individual because I don't want to be too perfect in a negative and positive world. Yes, ma'am.
He would put them to a test if the farmer took a rest. The farmer is a man who feeds us all.
I wouldn't really know, but I know that there is thousands of them living on Earth from different planets within our solar system. Oh yeah, they come mostly as adults. They have various professions that they do that are toward directing man and mankind into a more balanced sort of state. No, I'm the first one that has actually arrived here as a child, and except for people who recall being, you know, like other lifetimes as a child, and they recall that they're from somewhere else. But physically, I'm the first one to be put inside society as a child.
The farmer is a man. The farmer is a man.
Survive in the water, and this refers particularly to the waters of modern philosophical confusion, where God is dead, metaphysical propositions are meaningless, and there's really nothing to hang on to, because we're all just falling apart. And the only thing to do under those circumstances is to learn how to swim.
Whoa. The Rockstar Quadrant is almost too bright to look at. Rockstar avatars have the hairdos that rockstars can only wear in their dreams. Hero scans it briefly to see if any of his friends are in there, but it's mostly parasites and has-beens. Most of the people Hero knows are will-bes or wannabes. The movie star quadrant is easier to look at. Actors love to come here because in the black sun, they always look as good as they do in the movies. And unlike a bar or club in reality, they can get into this place without physically having to leave their mansion, hotel suite, ski lodge, private airline cabin, or whatever.
I'm playing that Japanese music again now. I think I hear a tone. I think it's an improvement. Yes, I'm almost certain of it. It's very ultra, I must say. WZBC in Newton, 90.3 FM. Retro guitar there. That's Hef. It's rhythmical, like a standard kind of rhythm for the white race crossover. Kind of like baby food with pieces of vegetables in for spice and excitement, but not too hard to digest, of course. The metaphysics. Gary Geiserman. I'm askance at the mic. I'm at an appropriate angle for my cranial antennae to pick up. come in. Do you read? Adam Newton, Massachusetts, by the bay. WZBC.org on the temporary analog of newly excited structural chromosomal action. The immersion of all signal into a common anti-Babylon language. It's a good second wave for the flux state, a welcoming wave, allowing all to enter before the third wave liftoff, which may have various octave exponential propagation elements in it, can be difficult to measure and predict how large that third wave might be. Without reference to past complete cycles, of course, which due to memory lapse is missing in the populi at this point. Coming in the middle of the movie, as it were, with no one to explain. Of course, popcorn with salt, popcorn with a lot of salt, isn't used for movie viewing anymore. That fallacy was uprooted some time ago. So it tightens the internal wave field in the antennae arrangement. Is really at best only good for retrieval, and retrieval without echo is probably less than useless, I would guess. It could be misleading and everything, and that almost gets canceled out by definition today, so it's not really necessary to do that. NewMetaphysics.com. Just enter any password. It'll be processed for you. And studio475.com / NewMetaphysics. Spacious sonic profiling going on over there. Only go there if you have proscribed needs. I don't want to have to repeat that, but pretend that I am. So it's an important message for you. On the radio. This is not the radio over there. It knew the radio at one time, however, and has full dossiers on SAME for future use in the world of marker retrieval. blackmail. Email for the major, Gary G, numeral 4, at mac.com, mac.com, / if you will, as it were, so to speak.
And to swim, you relax.
Experiment could be experimenting with making new strains of the flu virus and trying them on their friends.
The camera at one point and I left, but then I came back in 20 minutes later.
They construct their stuff and visit with their friends without any exposure to kidnappers, paparazzi, strip slingers, assassins, ex-spouses, autograph brokers, process servers, psycho fans, marriage proposals, or gossip columnists.
Holocaust survivors had lived here in Israel for 15 years. They hadn't spoken about their experiences for various psychological and obvious reasons. They hadn't opened up. They had it bottled up within themselves.
Like pure poverty, like can I borrow more money from the few who will still talk to me. My personal life, semi-insane, semi-homeless, and no, I don't have a number I can be reached at. And besides, you don't really want to talk to me anyway. My personal life, my pathetic personal life.
Pressure to perform in a certain way.
You are pressured to perform in a certain way.
Helen Adam.
Cheerless junkie's song. Seeking love upon a day of summer's pride. I left Long Island suburbs for the Lower East Side. The train, it roared and thundered, and I sang above its scream. There's a cockroach coming towards me, but it cannot spoil my dream. Love, love, and LSD, it shall not spoil my dream.
I'm going down that road feeling bad. I'm going down that road, I'm going down that road feeling bad, oh Lord. But I ain't gonna be treated this way. I'm going where the dust storms never blow. I'm going where the dust storms never blow. I'm going where the dust storms never blow, oh Lord. Well, I ain't gonna be treated this way. I'm going down that road feeling bad. I'm going down that road feeling bad. I'm going down that road feeling bad, oh Lord. Well, I ain't gonna be treated this way.
Stay, it shall not spoil my dream. Blue moonlight over Tompkins Square, drop out, shoot in, turn on. The village all around me and Long Island suburbs gone. In a pad far down on 4th Street, soon I welcome the approach of the rat that loves the twilight and the nimble-footed roach. Love, love at eventide, the grey rat and the roach. I'm always where the action is. I blow my mind all day while on Long Island's tennis courts the bland suburbans play. And I was born suburban. Who would ever credit that? No chick who saw me frogging with the cockroach and the rat. It's hoe for horse or methadrine to spark the swinging mood. While rats run up my trouser legs, roaches share my food. Rats and roaches nuzzle me when it's dark and hot. Love, love, it's all the same, mixing speed and pot. First a rat and then a roach are both as like as not. If I can't find a fix tonight, my marrow bones will rot. Goodbye, transcendent Tompkins Square, I haven't long to stay. A double jolt of heroin and I'll be on my way. Let rats and roaches bury me, they'll bury me in state. As they march from the Rosano Bridge down to the Golden Gate. Clear across the continent, yonder let me lie. In the gutters of Haight-Ashbury to freak the passers-by. Till all the tourists gape and say, brother, he died high. Let rat tails write my epitaph, brother, he died high.
Alright. I'm going down that road feeling bad. I'm going down that road feeling bad. I'm going down that road feeling bad. Oh, and I ain't gonna
you have to know how to breathe in the right way.
Well, I ain't gonna be treated this way.
Well, you give yourself to the water. And you have to know how to breathe in the right way. You relax.
He gets up off the bar stool and resumes his slow orbit, scanning the Nipponese quadrant. It's a lot of guys in suits, as usual. Some of them are talking to gringos from the industry. And a large part of the quadrant, in the back corner, has been screened off by a temporary partition. Big board again. Hero figures out which tables are behind the partition, starts reading off the names. The only one he recognizes immediately is an American, L. Bob Reif, the cable television monopolist. A very big name to the industry, though he's rarely seen. He seems to be meeting with a whole raft of big Nipponese honchos. Hero has his computer memorize their names so that later he can check them against the CIC database and find out who they are. It has the look of a big and important meeting. Secret Agent Hero, how are you doing?
Hero turns around. Juanita is right behind him, standing out in her black and white avatar, looking good anyway. How are you? She asks. Fine, how are you? Great. I hope you don't mind talking to me in this ugly facts of life avatar. Juanita, I would rather look at a facts of you than most other women in the flesh. Thanks, you sly bastard. It's been a long time since we've talked, she observes, as though there's something remarkable about this. Something's going on. I hope you're not going to mess around with Snow Crash, she says. David won't listen to me. What am I, a model of self-restraint? I'm exactly the kind of guy who would mess around with it. I know you better than that. You're impulsive, but you're very clever. You have those sword-fighting reflexes. What does that have to do with drug abuse? It means you can see bad things coming and deflect them. It's an instinct, not a learned thing. As soon as you turned around and saw me, that look came over your face, like, what's going on? What the hell is Juanita up to? I didn't think you'd talk to people in the metaverse. I do if I want to get through to someone in a hurry, she says. And I'll always talk to you. Why me? You know, because of us. Remember, because of our relationship when I was writing this thing? You and I are the only two people who can ever have an honest conversation in the metaverse. You're just the same mystical crank you always were, he says, smiling so as to make this a charming statement. You can't imagine how mystical and cranky I am now, Hero. How mystical and cranky are you? She eyes him warily. Exactly the same way she did when he came into her office years ago. It comes into his mind to wonder why she is always so alert in his presence. In college, he used to think that she was afraid of his intellect, but he's known for years that this is the last of her worries. At Black Sun Systems, he figured that it was just typical female guardedness. Juanita was afraid he was trying to get her into the sack. But this, too, is pretty much out of the question. At this late date in his romantic career, he's just canny enough to come up with a new theory. She's being careful because she likes him. She likes him in spite of herself. He's exactly the kind of tempting but utterly wrong romantic choice that a smart girl like Juanita must learn to avoid.
The question is following further down that road. And I don't think it's going to be just one text. I don't think it's going to be just one book. That in the end, the transformation from one addiction to the other comes from touching a person. Now, Whitman used to say, when you read this book, you touch a man. So he wanted his person to be in the text so strongly that even the book becomes just a venue for a human-to-human relation, a soul-to-soul relation.
Does pressure you to perform. He is terrified. You are terrified.
Basically, we're there for the most of it. We were involved with some of the theoretical discussions at the Institute, but we spent most of our time in the Navy Yard, Philadelphia Navy Yard, in the special offices that were set up for this experiment. that was set up for this experiment.
They made you aware, Al, of what part you were going to play in this coming gigantic experiment?
The quantity is meaningless if you're not quiet. Another way of saying that is you can never get enough of what you don't really want. For the quantity to mean anything. The quantity is meaningless if you don't have quality. Another way of saying that is you can never get enough of what you don't really want.
Biblical text is like that. When you read it in the right spirit, it's not just a book. You're touching some deeper reality. But I think in the end, it's going to have to do with a relationship.
Adam Newton, WZBC. Gripping. Gripping. In metaphysics, just a pillar of salt. Out of Newton, the WZBC radio. Net. Being jolted and jostled all over the freaking place. If you have the proper key, which very, very few people do. I am Gary Geiserman. I am embedded, and I can't get up. Some of it's at 90.3 in the FM frequency modulation. Others are online. Some is relayed from one to other. You can get in sideways if you want and have almost a completely satisfying experience of getting the whole. And when you score the ad things up today, that's pretty good. You can get in on it. You could turn on one of the media sources and get right up on it. I'll pause while you do that. Have you done that? I'll pause while you do that. Have you done that? I'll pause while you do that. I'll pause while you do that.
I think you get in a new relationship, change your life.
Excuse for his terror entity and his portrayal of it is his superiority. Your excuse is the manner in which you create, I'll be on my course and not feel the course. You've got the result in mind and it's all you're gazing upon and everything in the meantime you're not feeling, and he feels controlled by your lack of feeling and you feel controlled by his demand that you feel.
And I think that I thought that I would have
Was there some of this in the legend of the Holy Grail?
Yes.
You let go, you give yourself to the water, and you have to know how to breathe in the right way. And then you find that the water holds you up. Indeed, in a certain way, you become the water. So in the same way, one might say, if one attempted to, again, I say misleadingly, to put Zen into any sort of concept, it simply comes down to this.
Interesting point. We'll pick up on it after
the story I've heard many, many years later, in fact, within the last, I'll put it in this frame, in the last 5 years,
right.
Someone who had access to the files told me, he said, Tesla did not die a natural death in his room. He said he was the victim of an accident which was set up for him.
goes that this one morning, literally is, I believe, the 7th of January, 1943, he left the New Yorker where he was living, drove somewhere across the street walking. He waited for a green light, of course, at the street corner. At a green light, he started to cross the street in front of some parked, stopped traffic, including a taxi cab. Secret Service or other related personnel held back the other pedestrians while Tesla walked out in the street, and under some kind of a clue or type of conditioning, whatever it was, the taxi driver slammed a foot down on the power and plowed right into Tesla and knocked him over the back of the taxi cab, and he came crashing down on the pavement in the back of the cab.
My God.
He kept speeding away.
My God, so you're saying here that Tesla was murdered, and he was murdered probably because he was continuing to complain or interfere or in some way try to stop the ongoing...
He was ready to go public on what the project was going doing and the fact that the government had, as he put it, no concern for the lives of the sailors.
Naval Yard and the experiments. What day was this experiment finally conducted on?
The first test was May 22 July 1943.
Conducted on.
First test was May 22 July 1943. And I was downriver, several miles from the yard itself. First test was May 22 July 1943.
That's definitely it. There's something to be said for getting older. By way of answering his question, she says, I have an associate I'd like you to meet. A gentleman and a scholar named Lagos. He's a fascinating guy to talk to. Is he your boyfriend? She thinks this one over rather than lashing out instantaneously. My behavior at the Black Sun, to the contrary, I don't fuck every male I work with. And even if I did, Lagos is out of the question. Not your type? Not by a long shot. What is your type, anyway? Old, rich, unimaginative blondes with steady careers. This one almost slips by him. Then he catches it. Well, I could dye my hair, and I'll get old eventually. She actually laughs. It's a tension-releasing kind of outburst. Believe me, hero, I'm the last person you want to be involved with at this point. Is this part of your church thing? He asks. Juanita has been using her excess money to start her own branch of the Catholic Church. She considers herself a missionary to the intelligent atheists of the world. Don't be condescending, she says. That's exactly the attitude I'm fighting. Religion is not for simpletons. Sorry. This is unfair, you know. You can read every expression on my face, and I'm looking at you through a fucking blizzard. It's definitely related to religion, she says. But this is so complex, and your background in that area is so deficient.
I was downriver, so several miles from the yard itself.
All right. How many... We've got the Eldridge, and how many people, souls, on board the Eldridge?
As I remember, there are about 30.
30.
So the normal ship's complement is 150. But they all they needed was a skeleton crew to take it down the river, set it on station, and, of course, Duncan and I were assigned the task of turning the equipment on in the right sequence.
Where were you?
Relationship to the channel. Here she reports being aware of your presence most all of the time in some degree, in some form. So that you are in communication with her, it sounds like, at all times. Is that correct?
There has been a bonding between the two energy units. It was something that was chosen on a non-physical level prior to coming into this incarnation, and then was affirmed or confirmed, whatever you wish to speak of it as. While in physical form, there was conscious acknowledgement that this, we are searching for the word, that this relationship would then proceed on a physical basis.
An old relationship renewed so that the book becomes a moment in the relationship that leads toward that kind of fundamental change and transformation that I know is coming your way, brother, because God is not finished with you yet.
Not better. More is more. You've got to put quality in your life in order for the quantity to mean anything. The quantity is meaningless if you don't have quality. Another way of saying that is you can never get enough of what you don't really want.
Has got to contribute to the struggle, because everything they do is grinding us into dust, and we will not be ground.
Man knows what I like. He knows that I want it nice and slow. I want to be teased, for I don't want this fantasy to ever end.
This week, each one of you has a homework assignment. You're gonna go out, you're gonna start a fight with a total stranger. You're gonna start a fight, and you're gonna lose.
That in this universe there is one great energy, and we have no name for it.
in. Hey, I went to church every week in high school. I sang in the choir. I know. That's exactly the problem. 99% of everything that goes on in most Christian churches has nothing whatsoever to do with the act.
Feeling is first. Who pays any attention to the syntax of things will never wholly kiss you. Wholly to be a fool while spring is in the world. My blood approves, and kisses are better faith than wisdom. Lady, I swear by all flowers. Don't cry. The best gesture of my brain is less than your eyelids flutter, which says we are for each other. Then laugh. Leaning back in my arms, for life's not a paragraph, and death, I think, is no parentheses.
Remember, Mr. Parr is an old hermit.
Right.
He lived up on a mountain. He had a place up there, been there for a long, long time.
You've heard of the Blair Witch?
Several times.
Several times. And what was the first incident?
I've heard stories about her from people and neighbors and stuff like that, but also I saw a documentary on the Discovery Channel or somewhere.
Take some time now for a snack if you need one. Consider this a commercial break. Get on up. Do what you need to do. I don't know what that might be. I can't even begin describing it on the radio. Could be highly embarrassing to you if I were to do that. Just go ahead and do that. Do what you need to do. Listen to this in the background. Receding. WZBC and Newton 90.3. Dead center on 90.3. Like a tune-up. Change the oil. Maybe get a clean cloth to wipe up your mess. Or another sock or something, or a clean life-size blow-up doll with a non-porous receptacle for bodily fluids. Whatever you're into, man, it's okay. Unless you're driving on a publicly owned thruway, then you might want to double check your work. Make sure you haven't made any errors. So just start coming back now. We'll continue with the programming. Just assume that you missed a few commercials for Ginsu or one of those new SciTech credit cards that doesn't have any credible text on the plate, just various circuits and things. With a high integrity field buffer. I have one of those. I keep it near me when I'm dealing with the intelligence log on the net. One of the networks on the internetwork. There are quite a few, you know. Not just the W one. Be aware of that now. Okay, coming back. Coming almost back now. There you go. Go on to the next group of programming signal. Or you could go listen to an old show on one of my websites. It's the same thing. You'll get this show later. That might be best for you. There is quite a difference in that experience. I do it all the time. NewMetaphysics.com on the W. Fully regulated by the guidance arm of the military communications complex. So there shouldn't be any problem with the transmission. And studio475.com /newmetaphysics, of course. A lovely excursion on your surfing day. Just download a file when you're making a sandwich or heating gravy or patrolling your neighborhood with a high-powered slingshot or performing ungodly experiments in one of your bathrooms hermetically treated for vapor impermeability, of course. You do live in a community of sentient humans, however unreachable they may be. Or you could be listening in a Walkman and be punishing a telephone pole with a several foot length of chain. Don't do that until it's very late out, though. I guess now is about right.
Wolfram has a very interesting statement about the origin of the Grail. He says, the Grail was brought from heaven by the neutral angels. There was the war in heaven between God and Lucifer and the angelic hosts that sided one group with Lucifer and the other with God. Pair of opposites, good and evil, God and Satan. The Grail was brought down through the middle, the way of the middle, by the neutral angels.
What is the Grail representing then?
Well, the Grail becomes the, what can we call it, that which is attained and realized by people who have lived their own lives. So the story, very briefly, is of this, as I'm giving it now as Wolfram gives it, but this is just one version. The Grail King was a lovely young man, but he had not earned that position. And the Grail represents the fulfillment of the highest spiritual potentialities of the human consciousness. And he was a lovely young man, and he rode forth from his castle with the war cry, Amor. And as he's riding forth, a pagan warrior, the Mohammedan warrior, comes out of the woods, a knight, and they both level their lances at each other, they drive at each other, and the lance of the Grail King kills the Mohammedan, but the Mohammedan's lance castrates the Grail King. What that means is that the Christian separation of matter and spirit, of the dynamism of life and the spiritual, natural grace and supernatural grace, has really castrated nature.
You're both attempting to write a Bible. What would be very wise is to live in each moment to live. Have no expectation from the last moment of how well you'll do it this time or the next time. Boy, we got it right this time. I'm ready to take on the world. You can be certain you'll fall right on your ass.
At one point, and I left, but then I came back in 20 minutes later.
Becomes a moment in the relationship that leads toward that kind of fundamental change and transformation that I know is coming your way, brother, because God is not finished with you yet, I tell you that.
Integrity and authority, if you will, but the integrity of
this block of text, latest software. I'll go ahead and build a new style sheet. I'll call it highlight. I'll change the background color to be black. And I'll change the font set to be courier.
Your action. of, if you will, but the integrity of your action. Does it lie within the greed and the avarice? Does it lie within the altruism and the spirituality? The justice that you call for, is it a weak justice to get justice? Or is it to give justice? The destination. Where are you heading? Where you want to end up with this demand, with this action of demanding? Do you want to end up vindicated, or do you want to end up righting the wrong? Two, three, four. The authority, the integrity, the call for justice, the energy of destination. Wherein lies? The motivation, or rather the momentum. What motivates? What's the moment, rather, choose us, what's the momentum? What's the momentum?
It's choosing different brush sizes and choosing different blending modes.
Is it your arrested vision, or is it your matured vision? And the motivation, out of entitlement or out of empowerment? The energies of the right move down, if you will. The energies of the claim move up. And it is important in this way to understand this paradox, this maze, not to memorize it, but to understand it, to get a sense of it. How the very right that you are claiming, or the very action that you will be taking, to be aware, to be alert to its energies, to the virtue, to the recognition, to the requirement of bounty, to the give, or to the get, or to the give, and to the destination, and then to the motivation, momentum going downward of the right, coming back, that sense of authority, that sense of integrity, that sense of justice. The call for the justice, followed by the give and take. The give and take to give, and that's where we messed up here just a bit. Followed by the give and take. Am I getting vindication? Rather, this should be the give and get energy. Am I trying to get vindication, or am I trying to give the rightness and the wrong? That's where that energy is, the fourth energy falling here. That energy of getting vindication, or using this demand to give the rightness of a wrong. Then comes destination. Is the destination, is where I'm going to end up, is where I'm going to close this thing, with a limited, arrested vision, or is it going to be with a matured vision? And then finally, the motivation, momentum. The last, the two together, motivation and momentum, out of entitlement or out of empowerment. So we skip that giving, getting conundrum, and that's where we slipped on these energies. Understanding the maze and making your way through the maze.
Start a fight with the total strength.
you're going to start a fight, you're going to lose. Essentially midship, a little bit, shall we say, further towards the bow than in the rear. But it was essentially midships where the control room was behind steel doors. Bulkhead doors were closed and locked when we were operating the equipment. And by radio command, and we had a radio receiver in the room, we would turn on the equipment on command and had to go through a certain sequence, read certain meters, et cetera, et cetera. And when it was up to full operating power, of course, we sat there until we had a further command shut down.
Do you recall in what sequence you brought the equipment up?
At this point, not exactly. The RF portion of the system was basically brought up first. That was easiest to bring up. Then we brought up the control systems for the alternators, because that was a little slower and more complex. The field coils for the alternators were driven by vacuum tubes, 3,000 of them.
3,000?
3,000 6L6s.
I sure
the old-fashioned big glass variety.
Oh, listen, the first transmitter I ever had when I was a ham was the final. It was driven by a 6AG7, and it was a 6L6 final, and that was about 30 watts output then.
Yeah, I was going to say around 30 watts. Well, when you're running 300 per coil, you're able to drive quite a lot of power into those coils, particularly when they're pulsed.
Did you have any concerns? I mean, what were your thoughts? Sure, you were behind steel bulkheads, but what were your personal thoughts about the possible biological implications of what you were about to do?
Well, we were quite concerned about it because we knew Tesla well, and we knew what Tesla was concerned about. We apprised Dr. Von Neumann of Tesla's concerns, and Von Neumann didn't want to hear about it, at least until about March or April of 43. And then he became convinced, oh, there might be a problem. Then he tried to design a counterfield to perhaps prevent the problem from the biological aspects. He actually put a third generator on board the ship to try and synchronize with the other two, and it never worked right. And he could never synchronize it. It was a bad enough problem synchronizing two, much less three generators.
Somehow he must have been convinced.
He was convinced by us that he better take a look at this and try and stop the problem in terms of the very high-powered RF fields produce some kind of a counter field. That was his theory.
But failing that, he went ahead with the test anyway.
That is correct.
Time at a later date, responsibility returning to your promise. And so in this place you do promise. 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 To fulfill the task and to do what of you has been asked. with your promise. From mystery you do come in a way as you do not understand. Step forth now. With the Ancient One, now in your hand. Return to the gathering, where but moments ago it seems you sat, where the body was afoot, or not, you sat. Come now. Come now. Come now. Stand. Stand empowered. Amid the Ancient Ones. Join them now, as though you were one of them. A part of this gathering. Not witness, not observer, but participate. Stand empowered. The Ancient Ones, imbued with their grace, with the counsels of their presence, with the gifts of their love. Filled with that which words cannot describe, an ineffable state, yes, sacred, transcendent.
Various names for it, like God, like Brahman, like Tao. But in the West, the word God has got so many funny associations attached to it that most of us are bored with it. When people say God the Father Almighty, most people feel funny inside. And so we like to hear new words. We like to hear about Tao, a
about Brahman, about Shinyo and Tathata, and such strange names from the Far East, because they don't carry the same associations of mawkish sanctimony and funny meanings from the past. And actually, some of these words that the Buddhists use for the basic energy of the world really don't mean anything at all. The word Tathata, which is translated from the Sanskrit into suchness or thusness or something like that, really means something more like da-da-da. Based on the word tat, which in Sanskrit means that.
With a line
and so in Sanskrit it is said tattvam asi, that thou art, or in modern American you're it.
When you begin painting again, that relationship,
that's the first sound a baby makes when it comes into the world, because the baby looks around and says da 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 da.
That if you disable
and fathers flatter themselves and think it's saying da da, which means
click
that.
The sample and I'll paint here. Now I'll paint down here. You can see it's not maintaining the relationship.
Touch your life?
In my own life?
Mm-hmm.
No, I've been fortunate enough to hold off. I'm addicted to them. Persons who are willing to take time and exercise some courage to become part of a process of debate and dialogue, and in the end it's going to be wrestling with the political processes as well, because once you bring together different people and organizing, mobilizing, you're going to really have to deal with the decision-making process to change things. And that has to do again with elites of various sorts, be they elected or business elites or cultural elites or what have you. And again, elites is not a buzzword for something negative, but just persons who have more wealth and power. And the question of accountability must be raised to them in the same way that accountability for poor people. Poor people ought to be accountable for their individual actions, but they have less resources, less wealth, less power. So even if we make them accountable, we can't make them accountable structurally because they don't have any power structurally. So this brother here, I think, is an example of what it is to be an engaged citizen. Just make sure that you maintain the kind of intellectual humility and sense of self-critical orientation, because the problem is that those persons who often get engaged in the process, they feel in the end that they have a monopoly on truth and no longer want to listen. So I like that challenge that you talked about. And you come back with a counter challenge. I want to say to this young brother is that being an artist is a serious matter in terms of mastering your craft and your technique. Allowing the passions of your soul to come forth such that you want to speak the truth first about yourself, then about the larger society and world, and being willing to acknowledge that in the end what you produce, if it is of high quality, is a kind of gift that you want to use for something bigger than you. That's why Coltrane or Curtis Mayfield, that's why it's Schubert or of Mozart, that they are open themselves to be a conduit even as the discipline and their talent are facilitated what they produce. And that's the challenge to, I think, any artist. I don't care what you're a painter, hip-hop artist, writer, essayist, and what have you. For me, someone like a Chuck D, who could rap about balloons. He happens to rap about black freedom and freedom of all human beings, but he's an artist because his rapping is an art. And then he uses that art for larger causes. KRS-One is another. Dead Prez, Common, Lauryn Hill. I mean, I think people like Jill Scott and Alicia Keys, who are artists in their work, but also connected to wrestling with various issues. And so I would say to you that what you want to do is to be cosmopolitan, international. You want to listen to art from India, art from Europe, art from Africa, art from Latin America. Then find your own voice and say what you want to say in your own way. That's what we try to do with Sketches of Our Culture, you see.
Who is 4BMWMBE?
Four Black Men Who Mean Business. So my brother Clifton, you got it? Yeah.
Right there.
Brother Cliff, the boy.
Is this Clifton here?
Yeah, I tell you, don't come better than that brother. I take a bullet for him in a minute. That's Brother Derek D.O.A. Allen, who is the producer and just a towering figure. He can go head-to-head and toe-to-toe to any producer in the country. And then Brother Mike Daly, who came up with the ideas, superb songwriter, producer as well. And in many ways, I mean, the dwarf there is myself when it comes to art, because I'm simply there to find my voice in the pocket and connect the music to the struggle for freedom. As I mentioned before, I mean, there's a fascinating relation between music and philosophy. Philosophy, the love of wisdom, seeking wisdom, never possessing wisdom. And music, which is a kind of poetry, you know, Beethoven understood himself as a poet of tones. So, and you could say Coltrane, a poet of tempo. And the wrestling between poetry and philosophy, with politics always in the background, inseparable but not reducible to it, is one that cases the very heart of what it is to be an intellectual.
Somebody put pressure on him?
Oh, yes. A lot of pressure was put on him by the Navy Department. And he went ahead with the first test. First test in terms of the hardware was very successful. The ship was physically, that is, I should say, optically invisible, radar invisible, because by 43 we had concern about radar. The Germans had very good radar systems, and they were attempting to defeat the German radar pickup of our ships going across the Atlantic.
Of course.
And, you know, it was radar invisible. It was optically invisible. This was determined from a carrier deck.
Now, this was
appropriate distance.
Now, this was with 30 personnel on board, or was this with only you in the control?
I'm sorry?
In other words, were there sailors on board on deck in this first test?
Yes, there were a number of sailors on deck who were there stationed on deck to be observers as to what they saw and felt.
And they told you to turn this thing on by radio?
Yes, by radio link.
So you brought it up, turned it on, and maintained the field for how long?
We maintained the field for just about 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Then?
The order came to shut down.
All right.
And we shut it down, and then the order is to return the ship to the Navy Yard, the back section. Well, then when we went back there, and of course then they checked out the personnel, both below decks and above decks. Below deck personnel were perfectly okay. Ones above deck, standing on the deck, were very sick, very ill, very nauseous. Obviously had been exposed to entirely too much RF power and rotating magnetic fields, because they were only about 75 feet at the maximum away from the coils or the antenna.
Probably horribly disoriented.
That would be putting it mildly.
But according to Buddhist philosophy, all this universe is one ta-ta-ta. That means 10,000 functions or 10,000 things, one suchness. And we're all one suchness. And that means that suchness comes and goes like everything else, because this whole world is an on and off system. As the Chinese say, it's the yang and the yin. And therefore it consists of now you see it, now you don't. Here you are, here you aren't, here you aren't. Because that's the very nature of energy, to be like waves, and waves have crests and troughs.
Of the alignment to painting, it's always sampling from the same spot.
Who is this mysterious man behind me, I wonder? Does it turn him on watching me smoke? Here I am out in public being exposed like this. I don't find anything more exciting than that. My breasts are barely covered by my bra. Nice sexy lace bra. I can feel my nipples, they're nice and hard. His fingers go round and round on them, pinching them. Pinching them really hard, making me want him to take them and put them in his mouth. But no, because I can't see his face. He's just going to play with them with his fingers while I smoke my cigarette. It's getting nice and smoky here. It's as if I'm in a haze. He's hypnotized me with his touch, sending electrical shocks up and down. Feelings that I've never felt before. Feelings that I don't want to end. I want his hands to always be on me, touching me, rubbing me harder and harder, grasping onto my tits, really squeezing them.
One cool feature of the clone tool is you can actually sample from one picture and paint
it
in another one.
My panties get damp just from his touch. Oh, I can feel my clit getting nice.
So with my chicken head sampled, I could go back to Michael and begin to paint the chicken head on him.
But he doesn't give it to me. Oh, no. Just feeling my tits. Yeah.
And not merely on an unconscious one. The channel is an energy. The soul unit has lived with our peoples in the past, as well as with others, as all have lived and incarnated in many places in many times.
Then I came back in 20 minutes later because he said, okay, you can come back in now. But it felt like I was I felt like, you know when you're at the dentist and you're like, okay, stop, I can't take this, and then you wait 5 minutes and then they can start working on your mouth again.
Disoriented. They were literally very sick physically.
How many were actually above deck, do you know?
So I remember it was about eight.
About eight. And so what happened to them? They went away to the dispensary for...
They went away to the hospital and to the Navy's medical facilities. And then, of course, they said to Von Neumann, not to worry, we have another test crew for you.
Another test crew, of course.
Yeah, at that point, Von Neumann became very worried. He
More volunteers.
He had a serious problem.
Did anybody track what happened to these men prior to the next experiment? Did Von Neumann track what happened to these men?
I don't believe he did, because he didn't have time enough to do it. The pressure was on to correct the system. And as the Navy said a few days later, well, we don't really need optical invisibility. In fact, we don't even want it at this point, because you see, in 43, they did not have the lower end, the shore end, and all of the tracking systems, the satellites and everything we have today.
Of course.
They were totally dependent on either radar contact for telling where the position of the ships in a convoy were, or eyeball contact, if you will. Consequently, they decided with radar invisibility, they had to have some means of optically seeing ships between each other in a convoy, so at night they didn't ram each other, particularly if they were in a bad storm.
Sure.
So they made one slight concession. We don't need optical invisibility. Well, it's meant a slight change in the system and a slight reduction of the power and the amount of, shall we say, time field rotation that was involved.
All right. Were there earlier experiments, I guess, that said to you, you could achieve radar invisibility before you could achieve optical invisibility? Was it a matter only of power, or was it a matter of, in other words, what drove the system from radar invisibility to optical invisibility? How much difference in power was there?
It was not so much a difference in power as it was a difference in the matter of the rotation of the artificial time field.
Okay.
And holding it at a particular point.
But I don't think he'd appreciate that as much as adding more hair. Also, if you have a document with multiple layers, you can choose to sample through all the layers by enabling this option right here. So the clone tool is one of my all-time favorite tools. It allows you to take out dust and scratches or really editorialize and create different images.
Piece of fish before bed. Who are you? Doc? Are you operating on me? Who are you? Why can't I see you? Ginger, you see me.
She does. Dogs are different. Can you see me now?
Is that you, Doc? Why are you so blurred?
I'll get clear when you want me to, Chris. Are you confused about how you got home so fast?
Dreams don't deal in time, Doc. Time doesn't count.
You've died, Chris.
You have to be a dream, Doc. If I were dead, would I need you to tell me?
I guess you do. Everyone's different.
I wish everybody would go home.
I know.
How come I see everyone, Doc? Everybody.
I'm the one you don't want to see. You don't want to be dead.
And there was a familiarity between our energy and the soul energy of our people that she had worked with in the past and the one that is expressed now. So it made this particular bonding and relationship most easy.
You go into the theory as I knew it. You are dealing with the number of alternate realities, and you can quite literally rotate out of this one into the next one by rotating yourself 90 degrees in terms of the time field.
Adam Newton, WZBC. a wonderful radio station. New Metaphysics. Hosted by the Major. Nave and Tell. All the way. Don't worry about me. I'm good to go. 90.3 FM. Tracking. Almost sufficient data pool for reference requirements. WZBC.org. Finder. Time tracking, newmetaphysics.com, or studio475.com/newmetaphysics, spelled normally. Data pool tracking complete.
You just drop into the next reality, but you don't want to do this in the normal circumstances, because what you want is just the radar or optical invisibility, which means you've got a fine point of where you hold this. You're producing a phase shift in the time field locally.
No, that makes sense. I mean, you want your ship to get to Europe. You don't want it to go to another dimension.
Correct.
Only, we, being under a certain kind of sleepiness or illusion, imagine that the trough is going to overcome the wave, crest. The yin, the dark principle, is going to overcome the yang, or the light principle, and that off is finally going to triumph over on. And we, shall I say, bug ourselves by indulging in that illusion.
About her, about the ghosts and legends of Maryland.
Yeah, it's a story my grandmother used to tell us all. Makes you go to bed early.
Really?
In an adult mind, when she could re-examine that decision, of course she had other ways of dealing with his stress. She set better limits and negotiated better. So sometimes the unconscious takes these extreme measures.
What's curious too is why then it becomes therapeutic and healing to make that unconscious conscious, that somehow putting words to a conflict or words to some kind of emotions brings about some kind of change for the better.
It doesn't always. In fact, sometimes insight does not produce change. When it does work, it's because we can re-examine an earlier decision, and we can examine it with the point of view and with the resources that we've garnered in the time since that experience. In other words, a childhood experience can be examined in adult with adult wisdom. In that way, we can change the unconscious because it has new input. But sometimes we don't need to bring that to a conscious level. Let me give you an example of that. I worked with a woman once for 6 months of therapy who had a variety of issues with her father, who had been to some extent abusive with her, and a mother who'd been alcoholic. And we talked about that just to get the information. But the way I worked with her was very much in symbolism. We would basically, in the session, induce a state of hypnosis and then tell her to have a dream that would be relevant to the issues at hand. Well, she had a series of dreams, and they were all of a similar theme. They were of doing laundry. And they went in a progression from going to her backyard and seeing all these dirty clothes hanging on her laundry line. That was the first dream, and they're not washed, and she's wondering what they're doing there. As the dreams progress over time, this transmogrifies into a dream in which she sees that her father's dirty underwear is mixed in with hers. Now, it would have been very tempting at that point to interpret that. It would have been tempting to say, well, this is the dirtiness from, you know, the molestation, and you're trying to separate out your identity from your father's, and that would have been correct. But it probably wouldn't have done anything. What we did instead was, in hypnosis, she simply re-scripted the dreams. She, in the dream, she took down her father's clothes, she washed it, gave it back to him, she took her own clothes down, separated them, and in this process of 6 months of therapy, a very profound depression lifted. We did very little insight.
So you literally then had her reprogram her dreams.
Precisely.
Well, one of the very controversial areas for the use of hypnosis has to do with child abuse and what's called recovered memories. First of all, how can a person, a child, wipe out a traumatic event or a series of horrific traumatic experiences? How can that possibly take place? Because I think for most people who live in a sort of in their conscious world, it's hard to imagine having a whole chapter of their life which is erased.
Well, I'll answer that question, but it's also true for other contexts as well. There's numerous case reports over the last 100 years of people who forgot automobile accidents and natural disasters and domestic violence, and people who were in plane crashes who were rescued had no memory of being rescued. So there's plenty of literature to show that we can put out of our minds overwhelming events, overwhelmingly traumatic events in a variety of contexts. It only became controversial when that idea was applied to the notion of child abuse. So let's talk about that for a moment. What are the motivational dynamics that would make a child forget multiple episodes of child abuse? There's numerous ones. First of all, any child in the world will trade their perceptions away for at least the illusion that their parents are adequate caregivers. So they set it aside and forget it because the knowledge of it destroys the illusion of the caregiver. They set it aside because it's overwhelming physical and emotionally. And they set it aside because oftentimes in abusive families there's directives to keep the secret. Well, the child who's able to dissociate the experience and literally forget it has what in politics is called plausible deniability.
Am I in a dream? Or is this reality? What is it? I don't know. The only thing that I know is that I like his touch. I like what he does to me while I smoke. So good and wet. So turned on.
It's nothing like having a man touch you while you smoke. Because I love to smoke. And I think that I need to have another one. I want the smoke surrounding me. Carrying me away. Off into this dream state. Nothing but smoke.
You wanted to stay here, if to put it in those terms, but just not be visible.
That's right. Okay, so the first test was on the Eldridge, 22 July of 43.
Right.
That was considered at least a qualified success.
Yes, it was considered very successful in terms of the hardware and the hardware goals. It was a qualified success because they had personnel problems. And on the 12 August test, after we got the notice, Neumann got the notice, and of course it went up and down the whole gamut of the personnel involved, the Navy said quite literally, you have a drop-dead date. You'll finish these tests by the 12th of August or just forget the whole project. And, of course, von Neumann became very worried. He went to the Navy. He'd already done this and asked for an extension on time, and they refused to give him any more time. And I became very concerned about this and went up to the director of the Office of Naval Engineering, Captain Hal Bowen Sr.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what is this all about? And he says, well, this command came from further up the line. I says, where did it come from? He says, from the CNO himself, Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral King. I says, what's he getting involved in this war? He's not supposed to be concerned specifically about engineering tests. And, we had no answer at that time as to why they chose or why he was given the orders for a drop-dead date of the 12th August.
All right. Well, we're going to
read it. Well, on the second test, the big one, we didn't really go to sea. We were still in the harbor.
All right, you're in the harbor.
We had a total personnel of about 30 on board. There was something like 20 sailors and 10 officers, including Duncan and myself.
All right. You and Duncan were again in the same place as you had been previously.
That is correct.
In the control room.
That's right.
There were, how many on deck would you say, about 18?
It was again about 8.
Only 8 on deck.
Right.
And the rest of them in various positions.
Positions below deck to do the skeleton crew number to run the ship.
Okay. Again, did you get your orders to begin by radio or what?
Yes, we were given orders by radio as to when to proceed.
So the vast majority of the show is done randomly. And then what I found over the years was that my subconscious mind, which is like the computer model is good for a lot of this. That's sort of like a search engine. So I just punch in certain intent, certain desire, and then I spin it to chambers for the cassettes. And you'd be amazed. Well, most of that stuff, most of the synchronicities were referent, friendly, segues and so forth. They're all done by my subconscious mind, and I just try to listen carefully and respond in kind.
So how many times do you play multiple legs at once?
You mean how many sources are on at once?
Yeah.
Well, there's always at least one music source and one spoken word source. But sometimes there's more than one music, and sometimes there's more than one spoken word, but usually, you know, that's obvious.
Nana is brought back to life. She returns from the netherworld, followed by a host of the dead. Juanita went to the raft 3 days ago, Hero says. Time to get hacking.
Earth is still where he left it, zoomed in to show a magnified view of the raft. In the light of last night's chat with Chuck Wrightson, it's not hard to find the hunk of raft that was staked out by the Orthos when the Enterprise swung by truck a few weeks back. There's a couple of big-ass Soviet freighters tied together.
Between you and the channel. Did that occur here in the Monroe lab?
The first physical expression and the bonding occurred here in this lab situation. The relationship had been on a non-physical one from the time the channel was a very young child. There was much communication back and forth on a conscious level, but the child was not aware of the exact difference between the two physically expressed energy units as it was from a child's point of view at that time. As the unit grew older in age and understanding, there came a point in time in middle, what you call teen years, when there was a physical confrontation and an agreement that at such time as it was correct that the bonding would take place, which would allow the communication to be on a continuous, we are searching, it would be going on all the time, not just at specific exchange points.
We take this opportunity to welcome each and every one of you in the awareness of equality consciousness.
And we will not be ground.
Hello, Ray. Let the show begin.
Women started performing at night in the early 70s, and everything from church basements to there were women's centers, there were the bookstores. Then the artists were starting to interact with each other. And suddenly there were audiences of going from 50 to 300 to 1,000 to 2,000. We saw it all change from being little coffee houses to being large theaters.
And, of course, followed the standard format as we had done before.
So, here we go. This time with pulse signals, tremendous levels of RF and electromagnetic energy pulsing around, and you cranked it all up, and just describe what you did right on through this, if you would.
Well, we turned all of the equipment on. Everything appeared be functioning normally to us for about the first 30 seconds.
As it had in previous tests.
I'm sorry?
As it had in previous tests.
Yes, it had in the previous test, correct. And to the observer ships, there were now three of them, an aircraft carrier with Captain Harrison, who was in charge of the tests on board, Dr. John Van Neumann and others.
Okay.
There was a Coast Guard cutter, and there was also a merchant ship, the SS Furiosef. And they were all observing this because the merchant marine was very concerned. They were getting the brunt of the effect of the German U-boats. And there was already a lot of spare systems built. If the final test was successful, we were going to start equipping ships with this equipment immediately.
Lying, sniveling, stupid, stupid, stupid. Why do I do these things? Why do I behave so always, so badly? When will I be punished? How come no one stays mad? Why doesn't anyone see me for the shit I am? Why is everyone so forgiving? When people are so beautiful, I could almost feel beautiful myself. At the ashram 2 days ago, a woman gave me a rose, picked before it could bloom, and that's the tragedy. The human tragedy that most of us die before we attain anything real, and my personal life drives this sad pseudo-reality home and cries, no hope, no hope, no hope, and yes, it's a lie, but it's so hard not to believe sometimes.
So we turned everything on. And as I said, everything appeared to be normal to the observers on these three ships for about 70 seconds. They had radar invisibility. They could still see the ship through a greenish haze, sort of a fog, but it was visible. And everybody thought, well, it looks like everything is working the way it's supposed to.
We've got it.
Then there was a blinding blue flash of light, and the ship disappeared. And the water line, which showed approximately where the ship was, also disappeared. Suddenly, there's just normal water there in the bay.
Heart and mind turn to your safe place, imagining the sights and sounds and smells, the touch, the taste. You close your mental eyes, and in your reverie of remembering, you return. When you open your mental eyes, you will be there in your safe place, amid the twill of smoke of a tiny candle, where once a flame three hoops did make, extinguishing the last of the smolder and smoke. For in the mystery of secret, you stand impalled.